What do you do if you're Caoimhín Kelleher? What's your sense from Caoimhín Kelleher's reaction to You'll Never Walk Alone?
Just having a great time.
The body language experts.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! 7 minutes past eight. We are turning back to rugby. Hannah O'Connor joins us this morning to help preview the game between Leinster and Northampton. Hannah, how are you?
Morning, gents. How are you? I'm good. I see I join in the middle of a hot debate.
Colin's very exercised by this. We haven't seen the teams yet. These are just reported.
This is reported, and I could be wrong. Yeah. There's a world where Jordy Barrett starts, and I'm like, well... Well done, Leo Cullen.
Maybe he's watching right now and going, Jesus, Colin, you're correct.
Yeah.
Likely, yeah. Can I get your take on this?
It's a funny one. I think I would be in agreement that I do think there's something there in terms of the IRFU having a hold over Barrett and Snyman playing. I know it was an interview, hasn't really been asked again recently, but I know there was an interview kind of late where Leo Cullen was asked and he kind of talked around it a little bit. So there's no definitive answer as to whether that is a thing or not, or whether they're favouring the homegrown lads in the selection process. But you'd have to imagine that there is something there by IRFU in terms of kind of promoting the Irish lads in terms of selection between the two of them. But like... Yeah, I'm in agreement with you a little bit, Cullum, on this one, in the sense that why is the big, you know, the big money signings of Barrett and Snyman, if you're not going to bring them out for these showpieces of the Champions Cup semi-final? You know, Leinster have been there and fallen short at the last hurdle the last couple of years. So like, surely the showpieces like Saturday should be, are the ones for rolling them out and starting them. But then saying that, you're not weakening it in having Henshaw and Ringrose there in this, the connection that they provide in the centre partnership and how well they know each other. But like, you can't argue with the fact that against Glasgow Warriors, Jordy Barrett managed to make it look like, I was watching it and I was, the only thing I could compare it to was like, you know, when you're watching minis rugby at the weekend and you watch one of the dads join in with like the under 12s. And it's like, he just seems to be playing at a completely different pace to everyone else on the pitch. Yeah. So like, you can't argue with the strength that he provides, and like you mentioned it there, and the leadership that he provides, the experience, everything that he does, you just can't argue with not having him on. Now, what an impact to have from the bench, but I'm a little bit like you in the sense of, if you're bringing them over to have such an impact in the big, to do the Champions Cup and get the fifth star, then why not start them a little bit?
Can I just two bits of... he did start that game against Glasgow in the Champions Cup, and everybody was fit.
Right? Yeah, we just had that debate.
I know, but so I'm wondering about how you're extrapolating from that the rule exists that he can't play in this game.
This is the third time we've said this now. There could be, because we don't know, like Hannah, you said, there's no actual confirmed talk, but it could be every other game. So now maybe he's due to start in the final if they win. But it's mad. I also acknowledge he started against Glasgow.
My other bit of... thing here is, last year in the Champions Cup final, Josh van der Fleer started on the bench and came on after 45 minutes. Yeah. Jack Conan started on the bench. Ronan Keller obviously started on the bench behind Dan Sheehan, and James Ryan started on the bench. So they do believe in stacking their bench to try and see games out and have a bomb squad come on. I'm not quite sure that you always start with your... And we're seeing this now with Neil Aber and... Porter's come on after 20 minutes in a pre-planned move earlier in the season.
It's the kind of South African way, isn't it, with the bomb squad, that you could argue that, that's just a deliberate tactic. Like we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, absolutely loading the bench disgracefully with the abundance of talent that they have, and having that impact that maybe over the last couple of years that it's been in the crunch in the last half an hour of a game, that it's been in the big moments of failing to get across the line and fatiguing and under pressure. So like, if you argue that, with that case, like, you wonder, has Sheehan, obviously arguably one of the best hookers in the world at the moment, but you'll argue, has he shown that he is nearly more impactful coming off the bench with scoring a hat-trick in his however many minutes he did in the last outing? So, there's that argument for it too, that's the South African way of loading it up. So maybe that it's a deliberate thing, but as you said, Barrett starts the last, you know, Champions Cup game in the quarterfinal. It's hard to know, is it deliberate? Is it a pre-planned thing? Is it a kind of an orchestrated thing by the IRFU? It's hard to know.
I that's where I become so exercised, because it's like, well, it could surely only be the IRFU thing because he played so well against Glasgow. I would actually sit better with me if it was just a pure tactical decision. I mean, I would question it, but I would like, well, obviously Neil Cullen sees this every day. So he's like, no, I actually do want to keep Barrett in the match. And who knows, maybe that is the reason. But because the reports this morning, as Rory O'Connor says, is that it's hard to find any other reason but the IRFU potential rule that we don't know about, if it is true or not. But that itself is just...
Is it not worth thinking about the other reasons? Is it not? Is it,
absolutely.
And so they have a track record of stacking the bench with like world-class players, which they... Josh van der Fleer, World Player of the Year, starts on the bench last year because they...
It can't be form. It could be injury. But the only thing we're left thinking is this IRFU thing, which is...
No, that's not the only thing.
That's so frustrating about it.
It's like a very binary way of thinking. No, there's not. this idea, which I have in front of me, and I'm not thinking of anything else. But then we should explore the logic of other things.
Oh, let's explore it.
This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name model that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we turn our attention to hurling, and I'm delighted to say Tommy Walsh is with us. Tommy, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Ger. Good morning, Colin.
Hi, Tommy.
Back in San Fran, I see. Nice one.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I heard you're getting great sun at home as well.
What's rare is wonderful. I've been very interested in your perspective on the debate that's raging at the moment about the pulling and dragging and digging that's happening before the throw-in. You've seen this, right? You've lived through this. Is it worse now than it was? Like, are we been overreacting a little bit, or is it actually a proper diagnosis that things seem to have reached some kind of nadir, a peak?
I definitely don't. No, I wouldn't say that at all. It's probably even mild compared to going back even to before our time, probably diluted over times. It's just that you can see every angle, you can see every tussle from every part of the field now with the scrutiny and the coverage that's on our GA games. Like, it's like the Premier League was, you know, when that was starting off. Like, it's just every game now is covered to the last, from league game to championship game, and you can see everything. But there's definitely, from my experience of playing it and watching it even before that, it's the same as it ever was. But you see, like, you know, there's probably two, you know, the talk all week is the digging and the dive, but they're two totally different. Even though they're connected, they're two totally different parts of the game. And, you know, I was thinking about before coming on today, I had a feeling that you probably asked me about it. But, like, you're geared by your environment, right? And if we look at the diving as a start, I was looking back through the players, say anyone over 40 that's watching the games now, you know, and comment on and pundits and that and analysing the games. When they were growing up, right, the soccer players that they were watching in the Premier League, that were our heroes, we'll say, for example, you had Man United, you had Cantona, Steve Bruce, Gary Pallister, Ince, Keane, Hughes. The Blackburn team, you had Shearer, Colin Henry, Dave Batty. The Arsenal team would be my team. You had Tony Adams, Vieira, Martin Keown, Petit. You know, then the other boys, the likes of Vinnie Jones, Duncan Ferguson, you know, and many, many more. Like, diving, they wouldn't even dive into the swimming pool then. You know, and what do young people do? And they copy their heroes. So you'd see Steve Bruce going down, he'd be up straight away. You see Keane going down, you're up straight away. That's what you do, because you want to be like that. They're your role models. Paul Lynch, you know, going around with blood all over his head. You nearly want to get a scratch just to rub it on your shorts, you know, that kind of way. And that's what we grow up with. But you take the young players now that, say, playing inter-county there now, you know, in their 20s, the players that they grew up looking at, Ronaldo. Like, remember when Ronaldo got... Rooney sent off, like that even still would devastate me now. You know, that'd break my heart seeing that kind of thing. Neymar, Jack Grealish, all these lads. Like, even remember the Atletico manager Simeone when he got
Beckham.
He got Beckham sent off. You know, and I'd say anyone from our age up would say that is scandalous. And, you know, they should nearly be put in prison because of it. To do that to someone and to their families and so on and so forth. So that's what we grew up with towards the young lads now are watching, have been watching these. So this is normal to them. They don't probably remember guys getting belts and getting back up. So it's probably nothing new to them. So the diving that's going on now, I'd say it's just probably from what they've been looking at since they're chaps.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.